And now, in cooperation with police and federal law enforcement departments throughout the United States, Gangbusters! National program that brings you authentic police case histories has asked Thomas J. McGrath, retired lieutenant, Chicago Police Department, to narrate by proxy tonight's case. Lieutenant McGrath.
The man who lived through tonight's case, Gangbusters listeners, was second-grade detective Donald Ballard. He was neither more brave nor more intelligent than a score of other young men who could have been chosen for the assignment he accepted. One thing only prompted his selection. The fact that he had been born and raised on the West Coast. As far as Detective Ballard was concerned, the beginnings of what for him were to be 5 days of violence occurred 1,000 feet above Kansas City.
Your attention, please. This is the captain speaking. We're letting down at Kansas City. It will not be a serious delay, but we must ask you to leave the ship for about 15 minutes while a check is made on the air conditioning.
Nothing wrong with the air conditioning, Gangbusters listeners. The airline was cooperating with an urgent request made by the police department of the city of Chicago, with the cooperation of the Kansas City police. What brought about the unscheduled landing was a passenger of about 30, tall, very well dressed, very dangerous. His name was Frank Lawson. As the plane set down and taxied in, three men waited at a window overlooking the field of the Kansas City terminal. Captain Peter Steele and Detective Ballard of the Chicago Police and Captain Norman Marcus of the Kansas City Force.
Well, that's our plane, Captain Steele. The pilot's coming in.
Yes. Ballard?
Yes, Captain.
We'll have a few minutes to talk after Captain Marcus makes the pinch.
All right, sir.
Now, you better keep out of sight and watch, Lawson. Watch him for any particular mannerisms. You may have to copy them.
All right, sir.
Captain Steele?
Yes, right here.
I'm Captain Charles, the pilot. I was instructed to see you as soon as I brought the ship in.
Well, this is Captain Marcus of the Kansas City Police and Detective Ballard of the Chicago Force. Our man aboard, Captain?
I checked the manifest when the radio message came. Frank Lustin, tall man.
Well, can you point him out to us?
Yes, sir. He should be in the terminal by now. Look, that's Lustin over there, Captain, at the newsstand.
Three magazines, 70 cents, and the gum.
Hello, Lustin. Now, just a minute, I'm talking to you.
Me?
That's right. Just move on over here. We're police officers. Give him a good fist, Marcus.
What's the beef?
Oh, just want to ask you a couple of questions, Frankie.
Okay. What's the beef?
You find anything on him?
Loaded 38. Got a permit for this, Frankie?
Left at home, cop, along with my hunting license.
We don't like mugs carrying guns around our city.
Look, I'm just flying out of here.
I say that. We got plenty of judges you can talk to.
I'll do my talking to a mouthpiece.
Come on, Lustin.
Ballard, you didn't get much of a look at Lustin, did you?
Well, enough, I think. I'm about his height. Nothing very unusual about his appearance.
He was chewing gum.
Yes, the report that Lieutenant Collins gave me says Lustin doesn't smoke.
Do you?
Yes, sir, I do, but I've given it up.
Let me see your hands. Nicotine stain between the index and the middle finger. Well, a manicurist can get that off.
Yeah, I guess so, sir.
Now, we have a few minutes before your plane loads again. Did Lieutenant Collins tell you much about this assignment, Ballard?
No, sir. He met me at the airport in Chicago. He just about had time enough to give me the reports on Lustin and tell me to meet you here.
Uh-huh. Did he say this could be dangerous?
Yes, sir.
Well, he was right. Frankie Lustin is a hired killer. Yesterday, we got a tip from the San Francisco police that he was flying to Chicago to do some work.
I see.
Have you heard of little Dave Yarby?
Not recently, Captain.
Well, we have. Plenty. Yarby's had more arrests and fewer convictions than any criminal in Chicago. Now, 4 or 5 years ago, he went straight. Straight. What he did was set up an outfit called Falcon Enterprises.
Mm-hmm.
All very legit. Except it isn't.
Well, what is it, Captain?
A front. Now, we're almost certain that little Dave Yarby is a banker for the biggest numbers and policy racket in the Midwest.
I see.
But we can't connect him. We put people into Falcon Enterprises, and he spots them immediately.
What does he do?
Nothing nasty, because none of our people ever got anything on him. Just fires them.
And Frankie Luston ties into this Falcon Enterprises.
The job Luston's coming back to do is for little Davey Yarby. Now, little Dave wouldn't be importing a killer except for the dirty side of his business.
So I go in as Frankie Luston.
That's right. You go in as Frankie. Now, you get in, you get some idea of how little Dave connects with the numbers. And then get out. Let him worry about where you went. And we'll take it from there.
Later that same day, high in a building overlooking Chicago's busy loop, David Yarby, president of Falcon Enterprises, talked with an associate who was not listed as an officer of the company. In the files of Chicago's Bureau of Criminal Identification, he was known as Edward Palmas. To his friends, he was Eddie the Knife.
I'm not in no position to get picked up by the homicide boys, Mr. Yarby. It's got so someone gets the business in Ray C in Wisconsin, they come knocking on my door.
I suggest it can be arranged so there'll be no danger of them knocking on your door, as you put it.
Yeah, well, you're the boss. What kind of a fee?
You'll get yours out of your own hand.
Yeah, Mr. Yarby. You take good care of your people.
Yeah. All of them, Eddie. Yeah. Oh, fine. Yes, Miss Cal. Oh, what? Just a moment. Frankie Luston.
What's he using that door for, Mr. Yarby?
I don't know. Miss Carroll, you can send Mr. Luston in.
This Frankie's a good man with the gun.
The best. Doesn't worry you, does it, Eddie?
Oh, Mr. Yarby, you know me better than that. Good man with a gun don't worry me. It's just the fellas down at homicide.
Mr. Yarby, I'm Frankie Luston.
Come on in, Frankie. Glad to see you.
Sorry I'm late. The plane set down in Kansas City for an equipment check.
All right, Frankie. This is Eddie Palmer.
Glad to make you acquaint, Frankie.
How are you? Well, Mr. Yarby, you got quite a business going out there.
That'll do. Sit down, Frankie.
Thanks. Cigarette?
No, thanks. I don't use them.
They won't mind if I do. Frankie, I don't know how you handle it with Dalbo out on the coast. Back here, I'm the boss.
Sure.
My instructions were that when you got here, you were to use the private entrance. Why didn't you?
Mr. Yarby, I got a plane ticket back to San Francisco. If you want me to use it...
Maybe Frankie forgot. Well, Mr. Yarby...
No, I didn't forget. I got a question for you, Mr. Yarby. What's the money in this job?
Dalbo told you that.
Yeah, but people have a way of changing their minds from day to day. I want to hear it from you.
$1,500.
How much in advance?
You get the whole thing when you pull off the job.
Mm-hmm. And what about expenses?
Eddie will take care of those.
Oh, yes, sir. I'll take care of that, Frankie.
Well, what's Eddie got to do with
that? Eddie will give you the job, take the expenses, and pay you off.
Then why doesn't Eddie just go ahead and do it?
Well, Frankie, look, you got to have a finger.
You just tell me the name of the bum and where I can find him. I'll be my own finger.
Luston, you take Eddie.
I will get in your way, Frankie. Got to get you a place to stay. Getting this bum right's going to be tricky.
Well...
Okay, Mr. Yarby, I'll take Eddie.
Attaboy, Frankie. Well, Mr. Yarby, I'll take him on down the south side and get set up. We'll be in touch, huh?
No slip-ups. Private door's right over there. This button works it electrically.
Ah, it's a pretty good way of keeping two sides of a business separated, Mr. Yarby. Where's this lead?
So far as you're concerned, this door leads to the storage room, the carbon supply company, in the next building. It's the way you will always enter and leave this office.
Sure.
I'll wait for Eddie in the storeroom.
Sure.
Eddie, come here. Can you handle him?
Oh, sure, Mr. Yarby. You know me.
Yeah, he's a real wise guy. No wonder Dalbo wants him crossed off.
Shortly after Eddie the Knife followed Detective Robert Ballard posing as killer Frankie Luston through the private exit from Little Dave Yarby's office, Captain Steele returned to his own office at Chicago Police Headquarters. His staff lieutenant, Roger Collins, was seated at the captain's desk. Telephone to his ear.
Hello, Roger.
Captain?
Telegraph room just called. TWX from San Francisco asking us to hold up on the Frank Luston switch and call Jorgensen out there.
Hold up? Well, this is a fine time to tell us to hold up. Any idea why?
Well, the message just said it was urgent, Captain.
Well, then get through to him.
Operator, this is a police call. I want Captain Adolph Jorgensen, San Francisco Police. Captain Steele, Chicago Police, ready on the phone.
But by this time, gangbusters listeners, Detective Robert Ballard had moved far beyond the possibility of any recall in his job. As Frankie Luston, he was entering a flat in a building far to the south of police headquarters.
Not better, Frankie.
Not if we're not here more than a couple of days, Eddie.
Well, what's wrong, Frankie? Nice flats, be on the icebox, real convenient to your work.
Okay. But I thought I was going to see something in Chicago. Here we're stuck out in nowhere.
Oh, you'll see plenty of Chicago once you do the job. Come on, settle down and pack your bag. Say something. Tell me about the coast, huh?
Sure.
Yeah. Beer, Frankie?
Yeah, I don't mind.
Yeah.
He's looking at you.
Looking at you. No, I always kind of wanted to move to the coast. Rough winters here, man.
Well, it gets foggy out there, but it's kind of nice. Mm.
You know, Frankie, when I finish this job, I may just do that. Go right out to the coast.
When you finish the job, Eddie?
Well, no offense, Frankie. Helping you, I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're a good gun, I hear.
What is the job, Eddie?
Well, I'll have to point him out for you. It shouldn't be too hard because he moves around this territory.
What's that?
That? Oh, steel mills not far from here. You know, the ore boats come right into the docks.
Oh.
Pledging money?
Yeah, some.
Well, no. I just happened to have a deck along, Frankie. Feeling I'm going to pay you $1,500, thought I might gnaw into it a little hunk. Nickel a point?
Nickel a point.
And so, gangbusters listeners, these were the circumstances when Captain Steele's office got through to San Francisco.
Yes, this is Collins. Yes. Hello, Jorgensen. We've been having trouble getting through. The captain is here. Just a minute.
What is it, Roger?
Frankie Luston was sent up here to be killed. Galbo wanted it done out of his territory. Lou Dave Yarby is obliged.
Well, how do they know?
San Francisco picked up another squeal. What? Luston had been getting too tough for Galbo. Yarby owed Galbo a favor. For a fee, Yarby's having Luston taken care of.
That means our man, Bob Ballard.
Yes, sir.
Hang up the phone.
Okay, San Francisco. We understand. We'll get on it. Thanks.
What now? Get a department picture of Detective Ballard. Put it in every squad, every cruiser, and have it shown to every patrolman. And if they see him, they're to stop him. Get him out. Now put a 24-hour watch on little Dave Yarby's office and home. If Ballard shows, grab him.
Yes.
No, use an outside phone, Roger. I'll be using this one. Oh, Roger.
Yes, sir.
Alert the morgue and emergency wards. We're to be notified on any unidentified dead on arrivals.
Back to Gangbusters in a moment. Cancer can be cured if treated early enough. Cancer can be treated early enough if people know cancer's 7 danger signs. You can get the information at your local chapter of the American Cancer Society. Look for the little red door in your phone book. And remember, April is the month to send your donations to Cancer, care of your post office. That's Cancer, care of your post office. Support the research aimed at wiping out killer cancer for all time. And now back to Gangbusters and Lieutenant Thomas J. McGrath.
For 24 hours, the Chicago police learned nothing about the whereabouts of Detective Donald Ballard. Detective Ballard also learned nothing, except that Eddie the Knife was a good gin player.
You'll keep your mind on a game, Frankie. You're trying to catch a 3rd-4, and it was played already. Well, I bet you got good card sense, Frankie, the way you bluffed me into breaking up those
tents. That isn't the rummy, Eddie.
What is it?
The way this is set up.
Some night, you are going to walk me down along the lakefront, show me a special person, and I touch off the Betsy.
Well, what's wrong with that? Hey, you wouldn't go last night. We make it tonight, huh?
This special person, Eddie. Who is he, a runner, a collector, a drop?
I didn't hear nobody talking about the numbers business.
Well, you hear me talking about it. It's a pretty setup job he's got. That private entrance. That how they move the money in?
Well, we should go out and find this special person now. Frankie, it's dark. You ought to be around. No? I thought you was a good gun, Frankie.
I'm all right. No, what I think we should do maybe is tap a little of Yambi's expense money. Let's go out and meet up with some of the boys.
No, Frankie. Now, Mr. Yarbo, he wouldn't like it if I introduced you around.
Oh, just a couple of your top boys, Eddie. After that, we'll go find this special person of yours.
No, I'm afraid not, Frankie. We cut it to the job.
Look, Eddie, we don't do the job tonight. We don't do the job until I met the boys and had a couple of laughs. Now, you want to call up Yarby and tell him that? You go ahead and call him up.
Can't reach him till tomorrow.
Okay. Deal him out, Eddie.
10 cents a point, Frankie?
10 cents.
The following morning, Captain Steele returned to his office from the telegraph room where he had scanned the early precinct reports. Lieutenant Collins was waiting for him. They had both slept on couches at headquarters that night.
Anything, Captain?
No, nothing's come in from the morgue or the emergencies.
Well, he's probably all right. There may still be a chance.
I know it, Roger. And we're taking it.
How?
We're going to call Captain Marcus, the Kansas City police, and tell him let the real Frank Luston go.
But he'll be...
Certainly. Luston will come to Chicago. He doesn't know that he's to be killed. Now, he thinks there's a fee waiting for him here, and when he walks into little Dave Yarby's office and Yarby realizes he's had a plant all along, something's going to happen.
It sure will.
And we have to do just one thing. Make certain we're there when it does.
I'm sorry, Lieutenant Jeff Petty. I was on the phone. It's a piece of business. Well, Eddie?
Well, Frankie Luston's with Augie, Mr. Yarby.
With Augie? What's he doing with Augie?
Well, he wouldn't go with me, Mr. Yarby. He wouldn't do nothing.
Eddie, it was your idea to tell him he was going to shoot a man. It was your idea that when you got him in the waterfront, you could put a knife into him and kill him.
Well, he swallowed it, Mr. Yarby, but he keeps saying that after he meets some of the boys, he'll go with me. He keeps saying he wants to spend some of your...
Well, let him spend it, but get this over with, Eddie.
Well, that's why I put him with Augie. I didn't think Augie would tell him anything.
Why would Augie tell him anything? Augie's no idiot.
Well, I don't mean tell him anything about the fact he's back here to get knocked off. I mean he wouldn't tell him about your business.
So?
So, it's Frankie is real nosy.
Uh-huh.
Well, he's asking questions. Wants to know, does the racket work here, like on the coast? How do we handle a bank? Stuff like that.
Well, tell him.
Tell him. Well, Mr. Yarby, you said that's something you didn't want noise to run.
Tell him, Eddie. Who's he gonna tell? The fish.
Police headquarters, Captain Steele speaking.
Captain, this is Lieutenant Collins.
Oh, good.
Captain, we lost Frankie Luston.
You what?
I can't tell you how it happened. We picked him up getting off the Kansas City plane, had a good tail nailed tight. And suddenly we were following an empty cab.
Well, Collins, you... A detective's life depended on your maintaining that tail, E. Well, Luston was probably suspicious because he was picked up first in Kansas City. Well, I was an idiot not to have thought of that. What are you doing now?
Well, I figured he still had to end up at Yarby's.
Meanwhile, at 7979 Morley Terrace, Detective Donald Ballard had finally got Eddie the Knife talking. Something he'd been trying to accomplish through endless games of gin rummy.
You happy now, Frankie?
Oh, sure, Eddie. You know, a fellow gets curious when he comes to a new town. He likes to know how things are done. You never can tell what tips you can pick up.
Yeah. Well, we go down to the lakefront and take care of the man now, huh?
We'll go down to the lakefront and take care of your man.
Yeah. You going to check your gun, Frankie?
It's checked.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I remember you checked yesterday, didn't you?
You know, you boys are real smart back here. We aren't near that smart on the coast. Who'd think of moving into the banker for the numbers through a supply company and a special private door? That's smart.
Well, it's Mr. Yarby that's smart.
He must handle quite a bank.
Oh, I've seen as much as 50,000 in one satchel. Are we going now, Frankie?
Look, why don't you go down the corner and get some beer ready, then we'll go, huh?
No, I think...
Eddie, I don't go unless I have some beer first.
Well, Mr. Yarby...
Yarby isn't touching off to Betsy. I am.
Well, all right, Frankie.
I'll be right back. Get me a package of gum, Eddie.
Yeah, you ought to try that double bubble gum. Hey, who are you?
Well, you took your time making up your mind to come out. You ready? Back inside, Eddie.
Now, look, we don't want no trouble.
Step out of the way. Don't catch no trouble. You're the cop who likes to play like he's Frankie Luston.
Well, I've had jobs I enjoyed more, Luston.
Yeah. Kind of look like me, but you ain't got my class.
Are you Frankie Luston?
I'm Luston. Been in a Kansas City jail, and this copper moved in for me.
You gonna kill him?
He's done his last job.
Then what are you gonna do, Frankie?
And I'm getting out of here. All right, cop.
Thanks, Eddie.
You see, the knife is better, cop. It don't make no noise like a gun. See, I was hired to kill Frankie Luston.
All right, Eddie, drop the knife.
Drop it? I have to kill you next, copper. I told you all those things about Mr. Yarby's business. He wouldn't like it if you could tell someone else.
Eddie, another step and I'll shoot.
Go ahead.
What?
I fixed the gun, copper. Remember I was supposed to kill Frankie Luston? Well, I thought you was him. I fixed your gun so it wouldn't fire. Now, copper...
Police emergency. Captain Steele. Steele there? Put this on the radio to him. Detective Ballard reporting. I'm at 7979 Morley. Third floor rear. I got two men here. One's dead. The other will be coming around. I'll need a surgeon. I got a knife cut. Oh, and tell him to bring some cigarettes.
Edward Palmas was tried, found guilty of murder in the first degree, and died in the electric chair, gangbusters, listeners. Through the information Detective Donald Ballard was able to secure, little Dave Yarby's numbers ring was broken up, and David Yarby was sentenced to prison for life.
Thank you, Lieutenant Thomas J. McGrath, retired of the Chicago Police Department. And now, Gangbusters Nationwide Clues, broadcast every week to assist American police in their war against the underworld. Attention, Gangbusters listeners. Maintain vigilance for Charles Otto Donner, wanted by the FBI for unlawful flight to avoid prosecution for the crime of burglary. His official description.
Charles Otto Donner, age 25, 5 feet 11, 190 pounds, medium build, brown hair, maybe dyed red, blue-gray eyes, may wear glasses, may seek work as a machinist or construction laborer. This man has cut scars center of forehead and below right eye. He reportedly uses home permanent wave preparations as a means of changing his appearance.
Caution. Donner is reportedly armed and should be considered dangerous. He has indicated he will not be taken alive. If you have any information concerning the clue, notify your local police, the nearest office of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, or Gangbusters at once. Tonight's Gangbusters case was written by William L. Stewart and directed by Leonard L. Bass, with Mandel Kramer, Larry Haynes, and Ray Johnson in leading roles. This production was supervised for CBS Radio by Jerry Danzig. Art Hanna speaking. Listen next week, same time, same CBS station, to amazing facts in The Case of the Nervous Brother on Gangbusters, a production of CBS Radio in cooperation with Phillips H. Lord. Jack Benny sure gets mad easy. Tomorrow night, Rochester turns up some old Benny love letters during spring house cleaning, revealing a one-time Jack Benny nickname. Is that anything to get mad over? And then along comes the Benny press agent with a scheme for Jack to swim the Big Inch pipeline for a publicity stunt. Is that anything to get mad over? Listen and laugh tomorrow night on CBS Radio to the Jack Benny Show. Stay tuned now for Gunsmoke, which follows immediately over most of these same stations.